just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. When the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. No, bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try to save a world? To save a world that's destined to die. That is destined to die. When I look at the world, when I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. It fills me with sorrow. Little children today. Children today. Really gonna suffer tomorrow. Really suffer tomorrow. Oh, what a shame. What a shame. Such a bad way to live. Such a bad way to live. Oh, who is to blame? Is to blame. We can't stop when this. We can't stop living. Oh, oh. Live. Live. Live for life. But let live, everybody. Live life for the children. Live. The children, oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to love, you got love. Save.
It saved the children, but I'm wondering if that was a Freudian slip and if it should be save the people, because that's what we need some saving going on today. This is Cheryl's World. I'm Cheryl Smith. Thanks for joining me and glad to have you here with me this evening. Didn't expect to be here. Did not expect to be here with you, but I'm always happy to have you in my world and to have you letting me be a part of your world. So I'm going to enjoy the ride, and I hope that you will also. I'm hoping that you will enjoy the ride. There are a lot of things that we can talk about today, and I want to give you a chance to get into it with me. Because guess what today is? And no, it is not hump day. It definitely isn't. But it is a day when you see people and you hear folks and you say, okay, this is how you feel. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And so, you know, let's hear the opinions. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Let me tell you, start my day off on this Friday morning, the birth date of Emmett Till. You remember him. He's 14 years old in Money, Mississippi, visiting relatives. And then they said he whistled at a white woman. And the rest is history. I met his mom back in the day, and a beautiful woman, and she talked about what it was like for her. For her, with her son being brutalized. And so my day on this Friday morning, the birth date of Emmett Till, my phone began ringing real early. And some of you may say you hadn't heard about Emmett Till. Well, Emmett Till's story was the one, his story was told, by many a parent telling their children to be careful, to be safe. And interestingly, before he went to visit his relatives from Chicago to Money, Mississippi, his mom talked to him and, you know, kind of schooled him. She was schooling him on the do's and the don'ts, and, you know, since he was going to be there with his relatives in the South. And, you know, years later, you know, and we look at the year. He was born on July 25th, 1941, and died August 28th, 1955, and Emmett Lewis Till. And his mom warned him. He went to Mississippi, was tortured and killed, and then we all start hearing the story of Emmett Till. And people were told to watch how you act, you know, when you go away, you know, things may happen. But guess what? We got a modern day Emmett Till story. It came in the form of Trayvon Martin. You had parents sitting their kids down and telling them about Trayvon and, you know, what happened with him. I wish it had been automated then, because then I could have shared with you some of, in her own words, the dynamic, the wonderful Mamie Till Mobley, and how she talked about what happened with her son. But this was the day, got up, and there were conversations when people were calling me and trying to get in touch with me. They were talking about three men. That's right, they were talking about three men. One of them was, they were talking about President Barack Obama. Yep. I know you hear me typing in the background. And they were talking about President Barack Obama and how the Republican Senate and Congress, they were saying they would like to have President Barack Obama impeached. Yeah. They're saying they would like to have him impeached. And so you start thinking, like you said, okay, what did President Barack Obama do this time? What did he do this time? You know, he was, you know, you think about, you know, when have there been attempts to impeach the president? Well, President, another person that they were talking about was Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price, who was taken into federal custody today. And so there was talk about him. And 109-page indictment. So you have people, and oh, I tell you, you give us something to talk with, and we talk louder and longer than anybody. But you had the conversations about Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price, and you may want to weigh in on that and share your thoughts as well, and I'll be more than happy to hear from you. You can give me a call at 646-200-0459. And then they were also talking about Michael Phillips. Okay, you're saying, I know who President Barack Hussein Obama is. I know who Dallas County Commissioner John Wiley Price is. But who is Michael Phillips? Let me tell you about him then. There aren't many cheery occasions in criminal courts, but on this morning, Judge Gracie Lewis's courtroom was packed with reporters, well-wishers, and other exonerated men, and joy filled the room. Craig Watkins, the district attorney of Dallas County, walked over to where Michael Phillips sat in his wheelchair and apologized for the state of Texas. Phillips was exonerated for a rape he pled guilty to more than two decades ago, becoming the 34th person whose name has been cleared in the county since 2001. But he's also thought to be the first exoneree who didn't push for his own exoneration. Now, let me tell you something. There are people who do not think that innocent people are in prison, and we're showing that time and time again in Dallas County. And they say that people don't plead guilty to something they didn't do. That's a bunch of crock, too. This is a great day for Mr. Phillips, but this is a terrible day for our justice system, said District Attorney Watkins. We took 12 years of this man's life, and he's got sickle cell. And the sickle cell anemia, you know, very painful. And let me just read some more to you. On the advice of his attorney, and we're having, I don't know why I'm getting calls this time, because I really cannot talk to anybody unless you call me at 646-200-0459. But Phillips pleaded guilty and agreed to serve 12 years. He is 57 now and served the entire term. Samuel Gross, a University of Michigan law professor, is the person most directly responsible for Phillips' exoneration. It was Gross who suggested to the Dallas DA that instead of waiting for the wrongly convicted to ask for the DNA evidence to be tested, the DA's office should proactively test likely cases. Gross also volunteered to do the work for free, and Watkins agreed to let him proceed. I wasn't surprised that it happened because I thought it was likely we'd run across one or two cases like this, Gross said. There was nothing about Mr. Phillips' case before the results came in that showed that another person had committed the crime, the rape. In the other cases, DNA testing was done. It proved the defendants were, in fact, guilty. In his case, it proved that he was innocent. District Attorney Watkins is the first black district attorney in Texas history. Before being elected in 2006, he spent 12 years as a defense attorney. Since taking over as the county's chief prosecutor, he has made overturning wrongful convictions a chief priority for his office. But he says being a defense attorney was not what shaped his views about guilt and innocence. I think it was less about being a defense attorney and more about being African-American, which tells me that law enforcement needed to be changed, he said. For most Americans, a defendant who pleads guilty is evidence enough that that defendant is guilty. But Watkins says that's hogwash. 6 out of the 34 Dallas defendants who were proved innocent by DNA evidence pleaded guilty anyway, and he thinks Phillips made a wise choice back in 1990. I think at time the culture of the office was we have to protect convictions, Watkins said. And so it was less about the truth and more about protecting convictions. District Attorney Watkins added, you know, at the time back in the 90s probably, whenever you have a woman that's testifying as a victim, that's going to be difficult for you. But when you have an African-American defendant and there's a white woman testifying against that African-American male defendant, it's doubly more difficult to get folks to believe you did not commit the crime. So who did commit the crime? Another man who lived at the motel, Lee Marvin Banks. Although Banks denies that he has no explanation for how his semen got inside the victim. The statute of limitations for the crime has run out. Michael Phillips is so ill with sickle cell anemia that his condition is day to day. As he was wheeled out of the courtroom today, he said he knew who was responsible for a sudden turn of fate. It's the Father, he said. Pick up his book. It's called the Bible. That's all I got to say. Wow. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And that is, so those are the three men. And it's just really ironic that, you know, it comes on this day. President Barack Hussein Obama, Commissioner John Wiley Price, and Michael Phillips. It's about saving the children. Saving the people, saving our people, we have to ask ourselves, we really do have to ask ourselves a very pertinent question. We really do. And I'm asking that question of you today as we deal with this.
Right on.
You better hope I let you go. Yeah, we say, what is going on? What is going on? That's what we're asking. What is going on? And that is the question. And maybe you have the answer. 646-200-0459 is my number. And we're talking about what's going on. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm probably going to play a lot of that music to ask some of the questions that we definitely want to ask and that we definitely want answers to, because there's a lot going on this day. Thank you for joining me. And I know you weren't expecting me, but I'm glad that you are staying here with me. And we got a lot of work to do. We really do. And so that's why we need the forums to be able to talk, to be able to address issues, and to just see what's going on. You know, so many things going on. And someone asked me to play a song for all, and there are two songs. So let me play one and tell me what you think.
Head up. the kettle, didn't seem so tough. The road we had it rough, we always had enough. I hopped up off about my curfew and broke the rules. Went with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life. She raised me right. And all I had to give her was my mic. Straight my how about the mic. And make it to the light street. I'm trying to make a dollar out of this thing. It's hard to be legit. You still pay your rent. And then it sees I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they're blowing in the wind. Last night, my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man to be the talk of this humanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wet up. You know it's funny when it rains, it pours. They got money for wars, but can't feed the poor. Said it ain't no hope for the youth, and the truth is it ain't no hope for the future. And then they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a black baby. We ain't meant to survive, cause it's a setup. And even though you're better, you're better. And to all the ladies having babies on their own, I know it's kind of rough and you're feeling all alone. Daddy's long gone and he left you by your lonesome. Thanks the Lord for my kids, even if nobody else wants them. Cause I think we can make it in back, I'm sure. And if you fall, stand tall or come back for more. Cause ain't nothing worse than when your son wants to know why daddy don't love him no more. You can't complain, people selfless. Hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Dying inside, but outside you're looking big. While the tears is rolling down your cheek, your daddy hoping things go on down this week. Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older and older and cold from having the world on his shoulders. While the rich kids are driving bins, I'm still trying to hold on to survive and friends. And it's crazy, it seems he'll never let up. But please, you gotta keep your head up.
Yes, we do have to keep our head up, and that's in all that we do. And that was one of the songs that was requested tonight, and another one that someone had to say. You know, I'm trying to find it for you, but I don't know if I'm going to find it, because it's actually one of my favorite ones by Earth, Wind, and Fire, which I made myself an honorary member of the group, Earth, Wind, Fire, and Smith. But here it is. Tell you, this has been one heck of a day because you think about years ago, you think about 1941 and Emmett Till was born, and then you think about 2014, and a man was released from prison. That's right. He was released from prison because he said he did the crime because, you know, his lawyer advised it. And I saw what someone said. They said, you know, that the lawyer needs to be disbarred. Well, there will be a lot of disbarred, a whole lot of disbarred attorneys. If that were to happen, because I tell you, that's exactly what a lot of them would react, would say that they would recommend that their clients need to do, because you get lesser time. He said, you better do 12, or you get out of here, rather than coming and doing 20. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Yeah, I know what you mean. You got to be feeling it. You got to have that feeling in your heart when you think about, you know, that there are people sitting behind bars You know, and there was someone who once said they'd rather see 1,000 go free than 1,000 guilty go free than one innocent. One innocent to be incarcerated or murdered. I don't know what your thoughts are about that, but you can give me a call if you'd like to share them. I would love to hear from you, and get ready on Sunday morning. I'll be back with you. This is Cheryl's World, and tomorrow Tony will be here with plenty of conversation at noon. On Sunday morning, me and Andrew will be heating things up for you. On Monday, we'll be back again at 6 p.m. And on Tuesday, Felicia, she's always so bubbly. She's full of energy, full of information, and she will be with us on Tuesday nights at 6. On Wednesday nights, the one and only Yvette, which Yvette is traveling, so sometimes she's in Texas, and then next thing you know, she's in California. No telling where she'll be next. And that's on Wednesday nights. And then on Thursdays, Inside 234. And I tell you, I really enjoy hearing these ladies because they are dynamic. They really are dynamic sisters. And they give you a perspective from somebody in their 20s, somebody in their 30s, and somebody in their 40s. Isn't that unique? Isn't that wonderful? Yes, exactly. And I just really, really enjoy listening to them and getting those different perspectives, because we can kind of lose touch. We really can. And so I'm glad that I have an opportunity to be involved, to hear different perspectives, and to learn and to grow. And that's what we need more of. We need to be able to grow. We need to be open-minded. And we need, more than anything, we need to get the information that we need to move forward, and lots of times we don't have that, and that's why I put the question out there. I'm going to see what kind of response I got. Yeah, I put the question out there, and basically, and I'm not throwing shade, but I'm saying, why do people say they can't serve jury duty because they can't judge anyone, but they get on Facebook, hello, and they just judging away. Without any evidence, just running their mouth and you know, sharing information, and just like, really, is that what you think? You can't judge, so you'd rather not serve on a jury? You can't serve on a jury because you don't want to judge people. And some people are saying it's a sad day. Yes, it is indeed a sad day. And I wish Facebook would fix things, because I would love to be able to get more friends on Facebook, because I have to keep running between pages, trying to get everybody. And some people get upset because they say, you know, they say, okay, I want to be your friend on Facebook. I wish I could have more on this. So I have several pages, but I'm trying to run back and forth between pages. And, you know, Judge Mary Ellen Hicks, who used to have my back all the time, says, This is another tragic example of why many of us do not trust the system. Judge Hicks, I miss you having my back on Sunday mornings. You know, if Sunday mornings were over, we were going into our 23rd year, that she and I were, you know, riding shotgun on Sunday mornings. Yes, and we, you know, we don't get to do that on KKDA anymore. Sometimes I just wish we could get together even on the internet, because she has such a perspective. She's a voice for the voiceless, and that is so, so very, very important. There's so many people out here who you know, we got some work to do. We got some work to do, and we need her voice. Now, I want to say hello to Yahawa Work Kishaw. And she thanking me for living among our people here. Thank you. And she says she prays for our man downtown, Commissioner John Wally Price. We all love him, she says. And I'm sure that he would love to hear that. You know, he would love to hear that. And my understanding is that when he appeared in court, you know, there are certain things I'm going to have to check with somebody, you know, because I need for somebody to tell me if it is the standard operating procedure, policy, whatever, for for people to always, for if you're in federal custody, for you to be shackled. Is that the way, you know, because my understanding they had commissioner in shackles, and I don't know, so I'm going to ask somebody, maybe somebody can tell me if that is the case, that, you know, that they're always in shackles. But, you know, the thing, I guess, the Commissioner Price said you could put shackles on him, but you can't put shackles on his brain. And so I know, you know, there are people. The thing that gets me is when people celebrate another's downfall. Because I heard from somebody today, and I actually told them, I said, you know, you should never celebrate someone else's demise, because, you know, it could be you next time. It could be you, for real, for real. And that's something you should think about. You know, that's something you should think about. But I heard from a person, and this person told me that they did not like, they had told me before, they said they didn't like Commissioner Price because he does not like white people. And I said, you want to know what? You have an issue. You have an issue for real, and that issue is in what you choose to believe. What you choose to believe, and that is really, really unfortunate, because the one thing that he chooses to believe, I would hope that, you know, you as a listener would not choose to believe, and you know, I was just telling him, I said, you know, it's really sad that you are in, you know, this mindset, and I said, because that couldn't be further from the truth, and I said, I wish I had the time and the energy, I wish I had the resources so that I could, you know, put you in touch with this person so you could see that that's not That's not him at all. You know, what you're saying is him is not him. And that you are caught up into a very serious game, and I wish you understood better. This is Cheryl's World. I'm Cheryl Smith. And you know what? I guess we're going to have a real fight ahead if I don't pay a bill. That's right. I have to pay a bill. And you know, look at me. I'm thinking, I don't know why I think I don't have to pay for everything I get, because I know that, you know, you're going to pay one way or another. You're going to pay one way or another.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey presents Built to Amaze, an all-new live event engineered for excitement and custom-built for family fun. Get ready for an astonishing array of the splendid, the magnificent, and the impossible. Marvel at danger-loving daredevils, majestic ancient elephants, fearless tigers, fun-loving clowns, and more. It will have your family riveted. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions may apply. playing the Metroplex July 30th through August 17th. Brought to you locally by Metro PCS.
All right, and if you want those tickets, they're out there, and you can take the family. Have a good time, just, you know, get out there. And, you know, and I have a question, and gosh, I don't know if I need to put this question out there because it may make some people feel bad, may make them feel uncomfortable. And, you know, but someone said this, someone said, some folks don't want to say anything, nice about Commissioner Price, because if they do, I shouldn't repeat it, should I? Should I just shut my mouth and move on? Is that what I need to do? Because someone said some folks don't want to say anything nice about Commissioner Price because they're afraid the feds will come after them. Let me repeat that again. Someone said some folks don't want to say anything nice, or maybe we should say positive. We'll say positive about Commissioner Price because they're afraid the feds will come after them. Is that for real? I just have to ask, is that really? You think? I gotta believe. You think? Well, we'll see. We'll see what kind of response I get from that. That'll probably piss them off. They're like, no, I'm saying this because the ninja's this. You know? And we shall see. We shall see. I know that people, people will say what they want to say. Some people are really, really, really like saying negative things and instead of just saying, like I told the young man I was talking to early this morning, just, you know, don't celebrate what you consider to be someone's demise because it may come back on you. Yeah, it may come back on you. And that's something that you don't want. You're listening to Cheryl's World. This has been this week, this exciting week where everybody was talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z coming to Dallas. And so people enjoyed that. And you know what? We're constantly deluged with negative news. We have two UT football players charged with sexual assault and improper photography. Oh, boy, and I bet we got some work to do. We got a lot of work to do. You know, there's a young lady on Facebook that she has everything exposed, you know, from the belly button on up. And we got some work to do. I mean, we just really, really, really have some work to do. So I'm going to thank Corey and Narock Wright for posting it, and I'm going to come back to that later and look at it. But you're listening to Cheryl's World. And have we gone through an hour already? Oh, boy, I tell you. We're going through an hour already, so I have to make sure that folks, that they have the Ringling Brothers, that they are aware that they can get their tickets. And they're going to be taking, you know, the Universal Circus is coming to town soon. And also, you know what? We'll be getting ready because it's a way down the road, but it's time to get started and start getting ready for the State Fair, the Al Lipscomb State Fair Classic. You remember the wonderful Al Lipscomb. I wish he were around today because he'd have a whole lot to say.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey presents Built to Amaze, an all-new live event engineered for excitement and custom-built for family fun. Get ready for an astonishing array of the splendid, the magnificent, and the impossible. Marvel at danger-loving daredevils, majestic ancient elephants, fearless tigers, fun-loving clowns, and more. It will have your family riveted. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions may apply. Playing the Metroplex July 30th through August 17th. Brought to you locally by Metro PCS.
All right. Tell you there, you're listening to Cheryl's World. I thank you for joining me. It's 59 minutes after the hour. Now it's the top of the hour, and we got 60 minutes, you know, before we call it a weekend for you. At least for, you know, we'll say goodbye this weekend. This has been one heck of a week for sure. This has been one heck of a week. But I do want to let you know, next week I'll be at the National Association of Black Journalists at their convention in Boston. And there'll be a lot to see. You know, it's amazing. People want help and they contact you and then you turn it on them and ask them back for help and you don't hear from them. What's up with that? We need to check that also. But you were listening to Cheryl's World, and I was trying to play some music that could, you know, probably kind of make, you know, I don't know what it is. I think maybe I just need a colonic because I need to call Helps Colon Cleansing because I have a headache. I have a serious headache, and I tried to take something. That's what I get for taking something I normally don't take. I actually took two Tylenols, which, you know, I feel like I'm going to OD on them because that's something I just don't do. But I felt I needed it because it's just like really, really bothering me. So I want to give a shout out. To Daphne Fain, and I know this has to be challenging for her, you know, and so I say it again, I'm getting some likes on you because people do, I guess they feel like some people don't want to say anything about Commissioner Price Positive because they're afraid the feds will come for them, but Pastor Frederick D. Haynes III of Friendship West Baptist Church said something positive. And I tell you, just like he said something positive, you know, there are so many pastors out there in the world who have been, you know, they love having Commissioner Price show up at their home. And they love, they love having him show up in their home churches and everything. And he's very spiritual. And then we'll see what they have to say. I want to send a shout out to Melanie Burney because she had funeral services. The services were held today for her mom. And her mom is Eva Moss, and she was a veteran, and she was born August 10th, 1938, and she transitioned on July 16, 2014, Eva Mae Ross, First Baptist Church of Jericho in Deptford, New Jersey. That's interesting. I never heard of that, you know. And she had a program with those expressions, and people get upset about those expressions for the two-minute limit, but some people can get up there and talk and talk and talk. And I'm looking, she talks about Eva Mae Burney Moss. She was born in McIntyre, Georgia, grew up in Akron, Ohio, and joined the military, enlisted in the U.S. Army as a member of the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps. And she served at Fort McClellan in Alabama and Fort Knox in Kentucky. After the military, she returned to Akron, where she worked in the hospital with the mentally challenged. And in 69, she moved her young family to Mount Holly, New Jersey. And, you know, she had three children. And she retired in the 1980s and relocated to East Camden. Oh, Camden, New Jersey. And she said she was a skilled crafter. And she made an excellent, the best mac and cheese and German chocolate cake, and enjoyed classical music and dancing. Okay. That's nice. And she's, not only is a member of the National Association of Black Journalists with me, and there are two poems she had on the program. Okay, this is a program. She has pictures, too, and they probably say, gosh, it was overkill because my mom had a lot of pictures, but my mother loved pictures, and she said why, because when her mother passed, she didn't have pictures of her her parents. She didn't have pictures of them, so she always took a lot of pictures, and we had so many pictures of her, and we'll remember her forever. And we have When Tomorrow Starts Without Me, and I'm Not There to See. If the sun should rise and find your eyes all filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today while thinking of the many things we never got to say. I know how much you love me as much as I love you, and each time that you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. But when tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand. An angel came and called my name and took me by the hand. It seemed my place was ready in heaven far above, and that I'd have to leave behind those things I dearly love. But as I turned to walk away, a tear fell from my eye. For all of life, I'd always thought I didn't want to die. I had so much to live for, so much yet to do. It seemed almost impossible that I was leaving you. I thought of all the yesterdays, the good ones and the bad. I thought of all the love we shared and how much fun we had. If I could relive yesterday, just even for a while, I'd say goodbye, then kiss you till I saw that special smile. But then I fully realized that it could never be, because emptiness and memories would take the place of me. And when I thought of all those things I might miss come tomorrow, I thought of you, and when I did, my heart was filled with sorrow. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home when God looked down and smiled at me from his great and golden throne. He said, "This is eternity and all I promise you. Today your life on earth is past, but here it starts anew. I promise no tomorrow, but today will always last. And since each day is the same day, there's no longing for the past. But you have been so faithful, so trusting, and so true. Though there were sometimes you did some things you shouldn't do, but you have been forgiven, and now at last you're free. So come and take me by the hand and share my life with me." So when tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'll be right there in your heart. And that was in the program for Miss Eva Moss, the mother of my friend Melanie Burney, who I've known for ages, and we both have served on the board of the National Association of Black Journalists. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and so I send a shout out to her, and also to Robin Stone, who lost her mom also. And there's a picture of me, Robin, and Melanie, and Lisa Cox is there also, and, you know, my prayers are with her. But, you know, it was the four of us, and all I could think about was, you know, guys, there are some people who are really, really, really taking joy out of the fact that, you know, that Commissioner Price is in a battle with, you know, the federal government. And it's amazing because they haven't said anything and now it all comes out. And I hope nobody slams them really, really hard about, I hope that no one slams them really hard about it, because there, I know some men that are really jealous of Commissioner Price, and some of them have really good reason to be, and I'll just leave it alone and just say, they know who they are. They know who they are. And so we're just going to see what happens. But you're listening to Cheryl's World. I thank you for tuning in, and I thank you for your comments that folks are sharing. And the thing, I guess, more than anything, you have to just say be strong and stay focused, and also
play that.
Thank you.
Even though, you know, folks, you're responding to me and everything, I kind of think I need to get off of it because, you know, you're kind of watching and listening to folks, and there was something, and I'm going to put, there's a quote that I have to play, that I have to read. I've read it here, and I have to share it with folks on Facebook. I need to get my butt off and do something. Maybe that's why I have a headache or something. I wonder if that's what's going on with me. Why? Or do I just need a colonic? Because I may be like a lot of other people, full of something I don't need to be full of, huh? You think that's it? I'll just play this. I know somebody's gonna say, "You need to stop. You need to stop. You need to stop." But I can't stop. So, you know, it's just like, okay, sue me. You know, get me off the airway.
Don't know what the FBI is. And so FBI is a terrorist organization. Folks don't know what the FBI is. And so FBI is a terrorist organization. Folks don't know what the FBI is. And so FBI is a terrorist organization. Folks don't know what the FBI is. And so FBI is a terrorist organization. Folks don't know what the FBI is. And so FBI is a terrorist organization.
What can I say? That was the one and only Mr. Dick Gregory. And you know what? That sounded really good, didn't it? It sounded really, really good, and it kind of makes you think a little bit and everything. But let me see. I have some people responding, and let's see if there's anything. Brother Muhammad said, "I can't leave Facebook." Oh, because men, there's a time, you know, sometimes, you know, you say, "I can't leave Facebook, Brother Muhammad." Well, let me tell you this, and this is really bad because I shouldn't put this up there because someone, I shouldn't put it up there because it's, I'll put something on Facebook. And I probably need to hear from somebody probably saying, "Cheryl, you're bad." And, I don't know, there's sometimes that I may say some things, you know, that I didn't say when my parents were alive, and, you know, they may just come out of me now, and I'm going to try to always be respectful of my parents and the upbringing, you know, that they taught me and everything. But I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to put it up there. But this is about I just have to put it out there. I'll just let it go. And if you go to my page, you will see a post. And then here it is. And hey, Dolores Elder Jones, I want to thank you for putting out a picture of James Brown. I'm going to reciprocate. I'm going to reciprocate because she put up a picture of her with James Brown. And this is a younger James Brown. And I just had his picture out today. And I was telling some people, you know, that, you know, I did see the movie. And I just love me some James Brown because, you know, I had a wonderful interview with him. Talked to him. I met him when I was like 10 years old. And then we met again when I was in my 40s, I guess. I guess maybe I was in 40s. And he, I just love me some James Brown, and we had a wonderful talk, and actually when I interviewed him, he said, he asked me, was I coming to his show? And I said, no, I don't think so, because as far as I was concerned, I had done what I needed to do. And this happened with me with two people that I am so glad that I did go, and those two people are, it happened with me with James Brown, and it happened with me also with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I had told myself with both of them, I told them when I was asked to come to meet him, I was like, oh, no, just, you know, I've done what I need to do. I was just going to let it go. And I am so glad that I went, you know, that I saw Mr. James Brown again. And I told him about when I was little how I met him and how he kissed me on my cheek and how I was like, I'll never wash my cheek again. But I could not remember for the life of me which cheek it was that he had kissed me on. And so this time when I met him again, he kissed me on both cheeks. And I just love me some James Brown. And I love, because he was an activist, and he was a very smart man. He really was. And, you know, he was a very, very smart man. And, you know, and I hear people say, well, I didn't agree with a lot what he did. And I'm like, well, do you agree with everything you do? You know, I have to check myself, you know, sometime also. So I am so glad that I was able to go and to see him. And it was, and he had actually invited me to come to Augusta. And I really planned to come because Augusta is not too far from Crawfordville, Texas, Crawfordville, Georgia, where my dad was. And so I said, next time I go to Crawfordville, I'm going to go and visit Mr. Brown. And it was a sad day for me when he transitioned. And he was a really good guy. And I remember that interview with him because my interview with him, he spent more time interviewing me, I think. After we finished, he was talking to me about things, and that's why he said, you know, I really want to meet you again. So I got a chance to go into his dressing room, and his niece was there. His niece actually lived in Garland, Texas at the time. I don't know if she's still there. But I said, this man is, you know, very, very smart and conscious. And, you know, and it was just really wonderful. I just really, really enjoyed him and everything. And I told people, you know, because I'm on the air and I know the phone is ringing and the folks will call me. They always call during the show, and I always tell them the number to call is 646-200-0459, that I cannot talk to them, you know, during this time, because this time belongs to you. And so, you know, and she wants to talk, do I put her on the air or do I hang up? I don't know what I should do. What do you think? But we're talking. I tell you what, why don't I go to a break and we'll try to make some money here, and then I will come back. It's going to be really short, and you know that, right? But maybe that's all it will take, okay?
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey presents Built to Amaze, an all-new live event engineered for excitement and custom-built for family fun. Get ready for an astonishing array of the splendid, the magnificent, and the impossible. Marvel at danger-loving daredevils, majestic Asian elephants, fearless tigers, fun-loving clowns, and more. It will have your family with it. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions may apply. Playing the Metroplex July 30th through August 17th. Brought to you locally by Metro PCS.
All right, I guess I shouldn't have done that. I should, but it's one of those Friday. This is Friday. This is Friday, and this is the birthday of Emmett Lewis Till. This is also the day that Michael Phillips was released from prison. The White House is bracing for impeachment hearings, I'm just sick of this, sick of there always being, some mess. And I think that, I'm trying to send this picture of me and the one and the only James Brown, because the movie opens. That's right, the movie opens. And when it opens, it's, we're trying to make sure that we have it because that we have a screening, and it opens on August 1st. But the movie, and I went and I was asked, how do you like the movie Get On Up? And I said, I know I watched it with a critical eye, a very, very critical eye. And so while people were enjoying it, I was not enjoying it. I was not as happy as other folks were. But I did, the music was good, and when I stepped back, I did enjoy, you kind of get an idea of where he came from, and there were interesting, there were a number of people in the movie that were actually in The Help. You had Viola, you had Octavia, there was at least a couple more people that I saw. The young lady who played the maid who went to jail for pawning her, the person's that she worked for, her employee, Reen, she's in there also. And and then there was one other one in there. But, Brother Muhammad, I don't know. You did see it. Oh, gosh. And so I will read it, not in its entirety, but do you ever read a post and then want to hunt the person down and fill in the blank? You fill in the blank. But that's what I was thinking. I'm going to tell you, I saw the James Brown movie the other night, and I'll go see it again next week at the NABJ convention. And then it's supposed to open on the 1st. It's supposed to open on the 1st of August. And the young brother, I don't know the brother. I'm wondering if I've seen him in anything else. He doesn't seem, it does not look familiar to me. It does not look familiar to me, but, he had some moves, and I guess, like I say, I was looking at him so hard because I just love me some James Brown. And so I'm trying to let some people know that I'm on the air and I'm getting ready. I was going to send that picture of me and James Brown, and I kind of should save it to, what is it, Throwback Thursdays, and let you see it. I will probably post it again anyway, but because I just love the picture of me and the Godfather of Soul. That's why the Godfather of Soul. A very historic time, you know. Again, this time of month is time of year. This day is a lot, you know, a very heavy news day. And for me, I guess the biggest problem that I would have is that you, like I told the young guy, when I say young, and he wasn't young because he's older than me, and everyone knows I was born last century. And when, you know, he was sharing his feelings about Commissioner Price, and I told him, you know, you really don't, you know, you just don't celebrate when someone else, you don't kick a dog when it's down. You know, and not, Commissioner Price is not a dog, but I'm using that saying, you don't celebrate, you know, even somebody who I may not like, I don't get happy when they're in pain. Because if you live long enough, you're going to feel some pain. And you don't want anybody celebrating yours. So I'm going to find this picture of, and I think I got some help on the brother who plays James Brown, because I can tell you, I was giving it to him hard. I was like, you know, even though there were times when he really looked like, and the way he held his mouth and everything, and I was like, who could have really played James Brown and really, really, you know, would have really done a really fantastic, good job with it. And I said Jamie Foxx. You know, I felt like Jamie Foxx could have been I think Jamie Foxx just does a really good job. I would have hated to see Eddie Murphy do it. No, I don't want to see him do it. I was trying to think of who else could I, other than Jamie Foxx, because Jamie Foxx is just so super, super talented. And this guy, you know, I guess, you know, he talked, and it's just, I love James Brown. And So, you know, I talked to a number of people who were younger than I and really could not put James Brown into the context that I could. And so they loved it. And so, you know, I said, let me look at it from that perspective and try to, you know, understand what they were saying. And I could. And I said, okay, I'm feeling this. Yeah, I can feel Mr. Brown. So I'm putting up a picture of me and James Brown. It was so easier to find this because last month when I was trying to find a picture of me and Maya Angela, I couldn't find her picture for anything in the world. And my mother was laying there, and I was talking to her. I was just like, oh, mother, I know that if you could tell me right where I could go to, because my mother was such an organizer, and she kept things organized. I used to send her stuff to New Jersey because when I was needed something, I know I could always count on her. And, you know, and I was like, oh, mother, and she couldn't help me, but it's okay, because she's been there so many times for me before, and, you know, I just wanted those times, but I know this is a rough time. It has been so rough. I've talked to so many people. I've heard from folks who, you know, there's this transitioning thing. Because, you know, I loved Dr. Maya Angelou since I was a little child. And I can remember you know, us sitting and holding hands and talking, and how I wanted to climb in her lap and lay my head on her shoulder and just stay there forever. And then, you know, shortly after that, my mom transitioned, and there's so many other people just in that month alone. Angela Bassett lost her mother. Robin Stone lost her mother this month. Melanie Burney lost her mom. Dallas City Councilwoman Carolyn Davis lost her mom. And another, Michelle Fitzhugh Craig, who was my campaign manager for National Association of Black Journalists, she lost her father. Somebody's gonna have to explain to me the difference between flashback and throwback. Cause I don't know. I'm trying to stay in tune with everything. You know, I'm trying to stay in tune, be hip, I'm trying. I'm trying, you know. And I thank you for hanging with me, because I really not planned to be here tonight, because so much was going on. And I said, you know, I'm not going to be here. And then I had to sit in, and I'm feeling pretty good. It's 40 minutes after the hour, 20 minutes before the top of the hour. And and we hang in tough. And so that I put the picture of me and James Brown up. I hope you like it. I hope you like it. And Mick Jagger said he copied all of James Brown's moves. And I will tell you this, that I, you know, watching the movie, he talked in the movie about being a, about how people just sampled. You turn on, listen to any music, you're going to hear him. And I kind of wish they would have shown that. I kind of wish they would have shown let you hear some of the music of some of the many people who have sampled the great works of Mr. James Brown, our godfather of soul, Mr. Please, Please, Please himself. And I think, you know, I was going to, Brother Muhammad was telling me who the brother was who plays James Brown, and I'm trying to find that. Sometimes I can be slow. He played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42. Okay, so I need to know, Brother Muhammad, do you think he was good? You know, I did not see 42, and I should have, because I am a baseball person. I'm a baseball type of girl, and I should have seen it, and I will get around to seeing it eventually. I will get around to seeing 42. And my number is actually... Oh, I bet my number was 7. Yeah, I had number 7. And I'm trying to think, was number 7, was that Johnny Bench's number? And then I went on to college, and I took on a new number, number 21. Yeah, 7 times 3 is 21, times 2 is 42. Yeah, so, okay, you say I'm tripping. All right. No, I have not had anything to drink. It must be that Tylenol that I took, because, you know, this is one of those days when the souls of men and women are tried, you know, and I can tell you that you know, starting early this morning, and the phone rang, and I answered the phone in my unsexiest voice possible. I said, "Hello," sounding like the woman from Dr. Detroit, if you saw that movie back last century. And I answered it like, I wanted you to make you feel really, really bad for bothering me today, this morning. And I answered the phone that way. And so then they said, "How are you doing?" And I moaned. I moaned because evidently they were not getting it that I was really, really that I was really tired. And so then they said, "Well, did you hear the news?" And oddly enough, I felt like the news would be about Commissioner Price. It was either going to be about Commissioner Price or it was going to be somebody was going to die, be dead. And, you know, because I've just gotten, you know, just hear about another one, another one, another one. And it was about Commissioner Price. You know, I already knew it was Emmett Till's, birthday. Already knew that. Already knew it. But then, you know, to hear that about Commissioner, and the thing that I knew that was going to bother me the most is that I really do believe in everybody getting the punishment they deserve and everything, but I'm not going to celebrate it. I'm not going to celebrate a child molester getting the crap beat out of them, because I do not, I cannot revel and get, you know, it kind of reminds me of those days you watch the old Westerns. Yes, I watched a lot of Westerns. In particular, Gunsmoke was my mom's Western, but I liked more like Rifleman and Bonanza, you know, stuff like that. And I did watch Rawhide and almost anything with John Wayne in it. But I did not, when you had to watch, you know, you see him on the, you know, somebody being hung or something and how people stand around and they want to watch it and all of that stuff. I don't want to watch that stuff. No, I don't get excited about that. But there are people who do. There are people who do. And, you know, for me, I just say, okay, somebody deserves a good butt whooping. I'd rather give a good butt whooping than watch one. I don't want to stand around and see you get beat up or anything like that. Maybe that's why I never really, one sport that I just really never, you know, really paid attention to that much was boxing. And you know what? That's a contradiction, because I love to be chilling on the couch with my legs reclining just reclining back, and it goes like this. Batter comes up to the plate. Pitcher does his thing, rears back, and releases. Ball hits batter. Batter throws bat down, charges pitcher's mound, and then it's a beat down. So kind of, now that's bad. I know, because you can hear the kind of little excitement in my voice, and you say, "But you don't like boxing." And then here I am. I guess there's a difference between a boxing and a good old fight. Like, but I don't want to watch. You know, I was watching, what was it in Django? The fighting, and you know, I don't want to see dogs fighting or anything like that. Like I say, if I saw a child molester getting beat up, I'd rather push everybody out the way and beat them myself than watch them getting beat to death. I really would. And so I don't like watching people suffer or watching people get punished. I don't want to watch. My good friend Bob Ray Sanders actually saw an execution before, and I don't want to see that. I really don't. And someone said that there was a couple arrested because they operated a funeral home, and there were a lot of bodies found. These were bodies that were supposed to be cremated, and someone said, gosh, I'm gonna have to, if I get cremated, I'm gonna have to ask my family to watch me. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Not at all do I want to see that. But I understand what they were saying. You can't trust people to do the right thing. Well, watching them do that to a loved one, for them to go through the crematorium, would be tantamount to watching folks. And that's something that people get off on. You see, they want to watch a lynching or something like that. No. No, I think I have too much compassion for that. I really do. And then it just brings it back to the barbaric way of dispensing justice, especially in an unjust society. And so, that's where we are. But you're listening to Cheryl's World. I'm Cheryl Smith. And I thank you for joining me. I thank you for hanging there with me. And I'm getting the comments, and I'm not the only person who feels like sometimes you just want to kick some butt.
Folks don't know what the FBI is. And so FBI is a terrorist organization.
I kind of like that clip. I think I better do something with that. And if you see me trying to act like I'm the Terminator X from Public Enemy, I'm trying to scratch a little bit for you. And I know. I just say, Cheryl, don't take any more. Do not take any more Tylenol if this is what it does to you. Because I guess I get a little giddy. It's 9 minutes before the top of the hour and 51 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Cheryl's World on this 1941 Emmett Till 2014 Michael Phillips. How many people say the little boy was wrong? About Emmett, I'm talking about, or about Michael Phillips. I knew he did it. American justice. I probably want to say, bite your tongue. I can't help it. I am. I can't help it. The feelings that I have, because I love my people. I love life so much and want things to be right. But I'm just saying, you are not right. You ain't right. Because that's, that kind of sums it up. You ain't right. And you could say it's not grammatically correct or anything like that, but you ain't right. So I have to ask again, how many said, little boy was wrong, or I knew he did it? That's American justice. That's American justice. And I wonder, and I guess if there's one thing I do not like about social media, I love everybody being able to have a voice. And it was Marcus Garvey who said that everyone is entitled to their own opinion. And I love that quote. I used to put that at the end of my column, One African-American Woman's Opinion. And I used to put that quote by the one and only, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, who I've had the pleasure of being going to Africa twice with his son, Dr. Julius Garvey. And so I've had a good life, and we can always talk about those bad times or things that just weren't so good. I can tell you that I've had a good time and a good ride, and want to keep on riding because there's more that I have to do. I'm hoping that next year this time we'll be talking about my book, my book on my man of swagger. And, you know, as they said, everyone's entitled to their own, is entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts. And, you know, and it was Malcolm X who talked about how important it was to do your own research. You have to do your own research. You know, you can't let others do it for you. You have to do it. Even when somebody tell, even if I tell you something, it's important that you don't just take what I say and run with it. You don't do that. What you have to do is you have to do your research. You have to go. And that's what people are not doing. They haven't even looked at 109 pieces of paper today, but still they can say what's going to happen with Commissioner Price. And you just say, okay, can you say O.J. Simpson? Can you say George Zimmerman? Can you not even go to court and just say Laura Miller? Can you do that? Can you do that? That's the question that I ask of you. That, you know, we have to watch what we say, how we say it, who we say it to, and we gotta, you know, we gotta stop. You know, as I told a young lady the other day, she was saying something, and I said, baby, you cannot revel in someone else's misery. She was hurting, so she wanted to hurt the person she was talking to. And I said, no, you can't do that. That is not what we are supposed to be about. That's not why we were put here. Just because you are hurting, sometimes the hurt will go away if you do the right thing. Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, said, every man has a right to his own opinion. Every race has a right to his own action. Therefore, let no man persuade you against your will. Let no other race influence you against your own. That's from the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And I used to put that at the end of my column, because it was just so important, because it's so easy for us to find compassion for others and not have it for ourselves. For me, that is, you know, for me, I just say, how can you have compassion for others and not for your own. You know, I say that with women. I'm like, how can you have compassion for everybody, but you don't have it for women? Are so mean to women. You know, I would say to myself, I'd say, golly, maybe her feet hurt like mine do sometimes. It's something, but it's like, you know, we see another woman and she's not smiling, and we're like, oh, why can't she smile? You know, and I'm saying to him, you know, why would you even put that on a woman? You know, why would you put that on a woman? You know, that you would hold her accountable, you know, but you won't hold yourself accountable. I'm going to put this up. I have 60 seconds. I'm going to put this up by Marcus Garvey. And then there's another quote by Commissioner Price. There's another quote by Commissioner Price. Not by Commissioner Price. I'm so sorry for that slip. But by Dr. King, that talks about, just the silence of our people, you know, being silent, that will come back to haunt you. And I'm going to share that as well as we wind down. But it's 59 minutes after the hour, and we're almost to that time where we're going to call it a day. I am glad you stayed with me tonight and got me through what I was going through. And so we're going to get out of here. I want to say much love to you, power to our people, and power to you.